Welcome to Season 6 of the Food for Your Soul podcast, where we apply the Word of God to the hearts of men and women to stoke the fires of your delight in Christ. This season of the podcast is devoted to the greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount, where Jesus teaches His people about life in the kingdom of God.
In Matthew 7:15, Jesus said, "Watch out for false prophets. They come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves." The wolves look like sheep. They have sheep's clothing. And yet we are told to spot them by their bad fruit. So they have sheep's clothing, but not good fruit. What is the difference between sheep's clothing and good fruit? How can we see through the sheep's clothing to the fruit? As you listen today, try to pick out any of the examples of bad fruit covered by sheep's clothing that might exist in your life. If these wolves are wearing sheep clothing, they're so deceptive, how do we spot them?
Well, the answer is in verse 16. Jesus says, "By their fruit you will recognize them." You spot them by their fruit. Now, notice what he doesn't say there. He doesn't say, "By their credentials you will recognize them." And I mention that because our culture is so hung up on credentials. Everything's, you know, people of our day, I think, would expect Jesus to say, "Beware of people without the proper credentials and decrees and documentation and fancy stuff on their wall." That's not, he doesn't say that. He doesn't say, "By their diploma you will recognize them." He says, "By their fruit you will recognize them." But what is the fruit? And this really had me stumped all week as I was studying this. Because the first time I read this, I thought, wait a second, by their fruit? Isn't their fruit that which you see on the outside when you look at them? But if that's what fruit is, then how can he say they have sheep's clothing on? What? Their fruit is bad. Sheep's clothing looks good. So how can someone simultaneously have sheep's clothing on and also at the same time be producing bad fruit that exposes them as a false prophet? I mean, the sheep's clothing is a life that looks like an authentic Christian life. But it's not good fruit. So what's the difference between sheep's clothing and good fruit? They're not the same thing, because these guys, they have the sheep's clothing, they don't have the good fruit. So what's the difference between sheep's clothing and good fruit? I would say this. Good fruit is anything that a person does that's good, that comes from a good heart. Okay? Anything that a person does, it's good. It comes rises up out of the heart. The difference between good fruit and sheep's clothing is, sheep's clothing is an act on the outside, whereas fruit is something that arises from what that person really is on the inside. And you can see that dichotomy from outside to inside in verse 15. Just, they come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they are ferocious wolves. And you can underline that word, inwardly. He's making a distinction between the outside and the inside. The outside doesn't match the inside. That's the deal with these false teachers. So spotting bad fruit is tricky, because you can't see the heart. However, there are some clues that can give away what's actually in a person's heart. There are some things that a bad heart tends to produce that is tough to hide, even with sheep's clothing. You say, what are those things? What are the clues that will reveal a bad heart that you can see through the sheep's clothing? Well, when I asked that question to myself in the study, I didn't want to just come up with my own answer. I wanted to know, what does the Bible say is the answer to that? So I was looking through the Sermon on the Mount. What would the people who were listening to the Sermon on the Mount think? We studied the sermon, so what has Jesus said? Is there any instruction he's given? Has Jesus said anything in the Sermon on the Mount about the problem of people who are one thing on the inside and something different on the outside? I mean, has that come up in the Sermon on the Mount? Have we come across the word actor in the Sermon on the Mount? If you've been with us this whole time, he's like, yes. I mean, that is, the word actor is a literal translation of the word hypocrite. And that comes up, Jesus has spoken extensively throughout the sermon about hypocrites, hasn't he? So if we want to figure out the difference between sheep's clothing and fruit, good fruit, all we have to do is look at Jesus' description of the hypocrites in the Sermon on the Mount. For example, hypocrites, they'll follow external laws, but not internal ones. So they're real big on the thou shalt not murder type commands. They're not out there murdering anybody, but in their heart, what do you see? Anger. Unrepentant anger. That's bad fruit. Not murdering? That's sheep's clothing. Unrepentant anger? That's bad fruit. Avoiding murder is, if you want to compare, what's the difference between sheep's clothing and good fruit? Avoiding murder is sheep's clothing. Good fruit, though, would be a kind, patient, forgiving heart. That would be good fruit. So Jesus says, by their fruit you will recognize them. You can't recognize them by their external commands that they're following, but you can pick up on a bad heart by their temper. Same thing with the next category, avoiding adultery. That's sheep's clothing. But good fruit is purity of heart. Keeping formal oaths and contracts and following the law, you know, where you're legally bound, that's sheep's clothing. But good fruit, that's honesty in everything. Right? Love your friends, that's sheep's clothing. Love your enemies because God loves them, that's good fruit. Giving to the poor, praying and fasting, all that, it's sheep's clothing. But when you always seem to do that in front of an audience and only in front of an audience, that falls short of good fruit, right? That's bad fruit. Good fruit is the Beatitudes. Really, any action that rises up out of being poor in spirit, meek, hungry and thirsty for righteousness, merciful, pure in heart, peacemaking, those kind of heart attitudes, any actions that rise up out of that, that's good fruit. Luke 3:8, John the Baptist said, produce fruit in keeping with repentance. And the people said, well, what's that? What is the fruit? And John goes on and talks about kindness, compassion, generosity, selflessness, integrity, honesty, contentment, those heart issues. Those are the things that are fruit because they're the things that rise up out of the heart. So how can you see through the sheep's clothing, through that Christian costume, to the actual fruit? You have to watch for things that aren't part of the act that reflect the heart. For example, you watch for like just the knee-jerk, off-the-cuff kind of reactions to stress. What are his just knee-jerk reactions to stress? Somebody once said, involuntary responses are the measure of what's in your heart. You don't have time to think, you just react, and that measures what's in your heart, that exposes what's in your heart. That's your fruit. And you do things without planning, without thinking. You say, wait a minute, isn't it fruit when I do something that is planned? You know, I plan, so I have a good thing, and I plan it, and I do it. Yeah, that's fruit if you have integrity, then yeah, that's also fruit, but not if you're a hypocrite. Hypocrites are actors, and so the things that they plan out, that's not really their fruit. That's their act. The things they plan out don't reflect the heart. It's just part of their sheep's clothing act. So you have to watch for things that give away what's really on the inside, like being, like in Matthew 7, being concerned about everybody else's sins, but not their own. Trying to, you know, let me take the speck out of your eyes, and I hate sin, and we gotta deal with sin, and we need righteousness, and seems to really care about righteousness, but he doesn't care about righteousness in his own heart, he won't deal with his own sin, and so he's a hypocrite. That's an example of sheep's clothing, bad fruit. Or he's unrepentant about his anger, or really the most common one of all, the most fundamental, pride. These guys will always have pride. They're always marked by pride. 2 Peter 2:10 describes false teachers. The whole chapter, 2 Peter, describes false teachers. And it says They're bold and arrogant, and they take authority lightly. They just disregard authority, and they're bold and arrogant. In Colossians 2, Paul's talking about them, and he says their unspiritual minds puff them up with idle notions, empty notions. They're just puffed up with pride. They get an inflated ego. And if you do or say anything that belittles them in some way, look out. Look out. If you confront them, you try and confront them with sin, look out. They will turn on you. If you are a nobody in the church, you don't have anything to offer them, don't expect them to give you the time of day. They're proud. And very often they also tend to be materialistic. 2 Peter 2, in that chapter, the things that really come out, there's pride and greed and then sexual sin. And that's usually what you see. Greed and sexual sin are just very common. 2 Peter 2, 3 talks about the greed. It says, in their greed, these teachers will exploit you with stories they've made up. They make these really convincing sounding things, and they just made them up, but it gets you to open your wallet. You know, wolves don't just kill sheep, they eat them. And you get that imagery in Jeremiah where he talks about the false prophets in the Old Testament where they're tearing apart the hoof of the sheep trying to get every last morsel of meat off of you. I mean, that's the way these teachers, they devour. That's why Jesus calls them ferocious wolves, ravenous wolves. They're starving. They rip you to shreds. They're trying to get your money. Verse 14, they're experts in greed. They get rich off the sheep. I read about one account of one of these guys who he was bragging about how he took the last $5. He got the last $5 from some elderly widow. And he's laughing about it. He's flying around on a private jet. $10.5 million home. I mean, there's some of these guys, they don't even try and hide it. They just flaunt their greed. They say, yeah, that's good. It's okay to live that way. Jesus lived that way. He was rich and lived an extravagant lifestyle and everything. And these are the prosperity gospel preachers. You know, the prosperity preachers? I mean, I don't want to mention any names, but people like Kenneth Hagin, Kenneth Copeland, Freddie Price, Paul and Jan Crouch, Charles Capps, Creflo Dollar, T.D. Jakes, Joel Osteen, and Joyce Meyer, folks like that. And you know, they just flaunt it. They just say, this is godly. But others are a little more subtle about it. They don't go around boasting. You have to look a little closely, more closely to see that they're just materialistic. And then when it's the sexual sin, then they really, of course, try and hide that. But, you know, they're unrepentant. They're not accountable. Their lives aren't accountable to anyone, and so they just have their lives set up with lots and lots of privacy. Tons of privacy. So there's many hours in the week where nobody knows where they are, what they're doing. They have lots of opportunity for their sin because they're not repentant. And they work hard to cover all that up with sheep's clothing. But whenever you can get a glimpse past their sheep's clothing into their character, these are the things that you see. These are the kinds of things you see. Pride, arrogance, selfishness, and greed, materialism, lust. And a lot of times when those things are exposed, people just want to look the other way. They don't want to believe that this wonderful, beloved, smiley teacher of theirs that could possibly be a wolf. And so they make excuses for the person. Ah, come on, nobody's perfect. You know, he's a good man at heart. He just has a few weaknesses. Those angry profanities that sometimes pop out of his mouth, that temper problem, that pride, those indiscretions, that's not really him. Not really him. That doesn't really reflect what's actually in his heart. And Jesus says, oh yes, it does. Oh yes, it does. The fruit always matches the tree. The fruit always matches the tree. And look at how much Jesus goes out of his way to drive that home. Verse 16. By their fruit, you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, but a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit. Bad tree cannot bear good fruit. He just keeps repeating it over and over through there. He's just hammering it home. Bad fruit does not just come out of nowhere. And it certainly doesn't come from a good tree. It comes from a bad heart. Godly leaders sin. Okay? Godly leaders sin every day, but they repent of that. False teachers cover it over with excuses, and when anybody wants to point it out, they will turn the tables and go on the attack against that person pointing out their sin. And in fact, sometimes it's hidden so well, and they've got their life so far removed from anybody's examination that you can't even examine their fruit of their character.
The obvious application for today's study is to beware of false teachers. If a leader has serious character flaws and refuses to repent, don't place yourself under his influence. Another application I'd suggest is to search your own heart for signs of bad fruit. Are there any examples of bad fruit in your life that you make excuses for instead of repenting of? Maybe some angry words that come out of your mouth, but you reject the idea that anything is wrong in your heart? Ask the Lord to show you any pockets of bad fruit covered up by sheep's clothing, and how you could make your life more transparent and less private so that bad fruit in your heart has nowhere to hide.
Thank you for listening. We pray that in this series your life will be transformed by the soaring ethics, deep insights, and glorious promises of the Sermon on the Mount. We are crowd-funded ministry, so if you would like this podcast to continue, please consider supporting us with a tax-deductible gift. Just go to treasuringgod.com and click on Give. Until next time, rejoice in the Lord always and set your mind on things above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God.